It's showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier. My daughter producer Sam is here somewhere. She's going to be
Tom Bernard
joining us. Hello, Tom. Speaking of Tom, thank you to Tom Bernard and the Tom Bernard Network for inviting us to be part of the network year ago July. Also, thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, Always Seeking Justice for the Injured, MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com, Smart Start Ignition Interlock System, Smart Start MN. Get a DUI or know someone who did, they will get you back on the road seamlessly. My Pillow, Chanticleer Pizza, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman. Walk in, mention the BS Show, 5% off a used gun. We have a great lineup today. We are joined. Well, I'm going to save our Hall of Famer for last. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, comic Brian Miller, Katie Harms doing a great job producing, and we are joined by Hall of Famer Carl Eller. Carl, always, as I mentioned, our time show, enjoy having you in when you can join us.
Well, I'm really happy to be here, Bob. Thank
well,
you.
And Carl, I want to talk to you a little bit about Colin Kaepernick, and because I mentioned on Tom's show too, you started the Vikings standing at attention for the anthem. But I want to ask you first: this Vikings defense now, they're on pace with 15 sacks, having played two of the best quarterbacks in the league, in Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton. If they maintain that five, sack average, which would be incredible, they would shatter the Chicago Bears' record of 72 sacks and finish with 80. I don't know that that's possible to average five a game, but what they did the other night was incredible. And I just want to get your thoughts on just how good this defense is.
Well, they're very good. And in fact, I don't think anybody's really surprised because we were dependent on our defense a lot this year. I mean, they were strong last year, so we expect them to come back. But I think they've got something else. Something happens when you end the season the way you did. You know, you come back with a real, angst to get going and to prove yourself. But I think they've got a little bit more going on. There's been a lot of talk about the Purple People Eaters and the new stadium, and we've kind of been prancing around showing our stuff, and so, hey, look at what we did, that kind of thing. And I think that these guys, I don't know if they want to put up with that much longer. They want to go, hey, look at what we're doing.
Get their own identity.
Yeah, get their own identity, which is good because I think they got the talent to do it, and it may just take that little bit of extra push to say, hey, we're here now. This is what's going on.
Now, Carl, I've been saying this, and I wanted to, because you play, I did not cover the team or live here when the Purple People Eaters, like yourself, were playing and in your heyday. I saw everything from 84 forward, and the closest thing that came to, I believe, your defensive line was the line of Dolman, Millard, Henry Thomas, and Al Noga. And they didn't have, though, the front seven as good as this one. Is this potentially the best front seven they've had? Because you had good linebackers, but you didn't blitz a lot. You guys depended on your front four to do it, right? I mean, I want your perspective on this front seven versus yours.
Well, we depended on our four guys. We didn't blitz a lot. But I think that their defense is a little different. They got the four guys up front, which are really coming really hard and fast. And they got Anthony Barr. But it's not just the front seven. You got Harrison, some of those
safety,
other guys. Yeah. And they're mixing up a little bit. That's going to help the front four. And if you can get a safety in there and get a sack, I mean, wow, that's, where's the quarterback going? But I think you made a really good point. I didn't think Green Bay looked that good when they came here and they played here. But Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and he's like the best, there is. And when you can beat him the way we did, which was great, I think that says something. And Cam Newton, I mean, I just can't believe the way they handled Cam Newton. That was phenomenal. So I think they're making a statement. I feel like they've got a good. But it's too early. I don't want to certainly, go, hey, they still got a long way to go.
They do, but it's, as you know, having played on a great defense generally doesn't let you down. Offenses will let you down. It happened with the New York Jets. I thought their offense was playing great the first 2 weeks, and then six interceptions by Ryan Fitzpatrick this past weekend. And, you know, that you could have screw-ups on – now, that them winning every game
four
is not going to –
Four in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think three were in the red zone, in the end zone, three in a row.
It was all-time bad.
Yeah. But this defense, though, the way they're playing, Eli Manning – when you get past Eli, they have Aaron Rodgers again on Christmas Eve, and before that, Carson Palmer, who I think you can get to because he's you know, of his mobility. But after Eli, he's the next best quarterback they're going to face. And after that, it's not a formidable group of offenses or teams they're going to be facing. So this could be a special year for them.
Well, you know, I just think they should just take it slow, one game at a time. It sounds like a cliche, but... You know, the league is tough. You know, there's going to be teams that's going to get better as the season goes along. With they might be some weak teams now that don't look so tough on the schedule, but they'll get better as the season goes along. And, you know, I still think, like I say, they still got a long way to go. It's early in the season. The big thing is I think Zimmer's getting the kind of performance he wants out of these guys, and I think he's going to use those guys more. The big thing is I think what happened is Bridgewater first, you know, now Peterson. I mean, it, like, takes the wind out of their sails, so they got to get it pumped up somehow. And they really don't have anywhere else to go but to put to the defense. So it's a lot of weight on their shoulders.
And they've taken it on, you know, admirably. Because my thought with Teddy and going to Bradford, I think – in the first two games, anyway, especially in the second half here, Bradford is where they were hoping Teddy would get to. I mean, because he's a veteran. Mm-hmm. He's been around. Mm-hmm. The loss of AP, one of the greatest running backs ever. But why I don't think it's a devastating loss for them is because you've got two guys now in Asiata and McKinnon who can catch the ball. You know, you don't have to take AP off, and the teams have to be worried on every down that the running back could be a factor in the passing game. Now, having AP at playing the way he does, that is a loss for a team, but I think they can weather that too. Where they're going to have trouble is, you know, if they wound up losing, Alex Boone's supposed to be okay. That offensive line has to keep Bradford upright because if he's not, if they have to go back to Sean Hill, then the defense would have. And then you're talking about a Trent Dilfer thing.
All it takes is one hard sack to change a forecast for an entire team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I really don't know much about Hill or the other quarterback.
Bradford,
yes. And I think that they really haven't had a chance. Bradford's coming in. Both of them really coming in don't know the offense that well. And so I think it's going to be a while before you can really know what they can do, even though Sean's got a lot of experience. And experience, what happens with a quarterback, maybe he's just a backup quarterback, you know, because there's a big difference between what a guy does, and it's hard to be a backup quarterback for that long.
Yep.
And maybe it's just a being a little bit off here or a little bit there. But, you know, he's reliable. You know, he's consistent. That's kind of what you want a quarterback to do, is to kind of carry your team through the humps. Bradley, I don't know what he's going to do. I know he came from Philadelphia and was good there. But I think this team right now, Asiata and McKinnon are good backs. They're journey backs. They remind you of a Bill Brown, Dave Osborne kind of backs. You know, they'll get...
Which wasn't too shabby for your teams.
No, it was not shabby at all. You know, they'll get good positive yards for you. They won't make many mistakes, you know. So I think they got to go with what they got, not... You know, I mean, hopes and dreams are one thing, but you got to go with what you got.
Yeah. Now, we Katie, we have a call?
We do have a call with a question for Carl. Go ahead, caller.
Who is this?
Hi, Bob. Bob from Laconia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thriller.
Yes.
What a thrill. But I want to talk to you about last year's Minnesota's defense. I thought they were, and I am a Bronco fan, I thought Minnesota's defense was the best last year. The only problem they had was they could not rest. What do you think of that?
Well, you mean that they didn't rest because of ball control?
Well, the offense was like three and out a lot last year. So well, the defense played a lot of, on the field.
Well, if they were on the field, they get a lot of minutes on the field. It wears down. The thing is you have to take the percentages and the opportunities. The more opportunities that the offense has, they're likely to hit you. Particularly now, I mean, guys can score from 50, 60 yards. It's not a big deal. So, you know, the pressure is on you, and, of course, the momentum is on the other team if your defense is on the field. So, yeah, it can wear you down. But I think they got a good defense. I just don't think they were there last year. I think they learned a lot last year, and they're a lot better this year.
Well, I thought I really believe that they had a really great defense last year, and so this year it doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. I think that, but I think they're much better this year than they were last year. It's not the same team.
No, it's not the same team, but.
They were good last year, yes, to answer your question. Yes, they were very good defense last year.
He's not taking your answer.
Yes.
and by the way, let me just throw out a statistic. Now, of the defenses of the Vikings, that when you played, 69, you guys gave up 9.5 yard or points a game, which is incredible. You led the league in that.
That was the record at the time, I think.
That was probably numerically the best year that the defense has. Was that the best defense that you were on? Or was it, I mean, you had four Super Bowl teams. That was the first of the group.
Well, 69 was a good year for us. That 69 team was probably a lot like this year's team. I think 68 we went to the playoffs, lost in the first round to Baltimore.
Yep.
And so I think that we got there with the idea that, you know, we're a good team, but we're up and coming. I think the next year we went to camp, we knew we were a good team and what we had. And I think that's what you're seeing here.
Well, and what's interesting about, and I did not realize this until I just took a look at the statistics. 1969, you led the league in both scoring and defensive scoring. So your defense obviously set up a lot of those scores, but that was a hell of an offense you had that year, too.
Well, that's the way it works. You know, if you get in, you get the ball, you give your team a good field position, they can score. And just the reverse, if they have the ball more, they get more opportunities to score.
Yep.
You know, they're going to score. It's just the way it works. The big thing still is like ball control, field position. You know, and that leads to 6, 7, or 8 sacks. If you get, it wasn't that way in this game on Sunday because they were out ahead and it was a very, very close game, but they weren't moving ahead. They didn't, North Carolina did not get any distance from us. So the pressure was still on. They didn't put the game away. And, you know, you get a few breaks, you tie the game up and the momentum swings. So, and that's what happens.
You know what's, now, Jeff, you may know this because I know you've done, you know a lot about Carl's career. They didn't keep track of sacks in 1969. Do you have any idea? What number do you get credited with in your career? Do you know what the number is?
I get credit for 130 to 135 sacks.
Oh, my God.
That's what I get credit for.
Yeah, they didn't count it as an official stat until like 82 or
that's
something.
That's crazy.
Like that.
Yeah, I was out of the league when they started counting them officially. But the other thing, too, though, is the coach had the option of granting you a sack or not. And if the coach didn't like you that weekend, he wouldn't give you credit for it. Sack. And they didn't count like half sacks and stuff like that. You know, you tackle a guy or you shoestring him and he may fall down a couple of feet later, you know, a couple of steps later, you may not get credit for that.
Did you have a year where you had more sacks than what the NFL record is of what is it, 22?
I never had more than 22,
but
I think I had 19 one year. I had like 18, 19, 17.
Deacon Jones claims he had like 200 or whatever.
he might have, but
you know, the interesting thing in talking about comparing this team, this defense to 69, which in my view as a fan is still my favorite Vikings team of all time, and to me that was the watershed. That defense that year was just lights out. That's the year that all four of you guys ended up being the starting front four for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I think
all
so.
That was the one year that all four of them did it. There were times that year. I mean, Joe, I love Joe. He's a client of mine. He's a friend of mine. Joe Cap had some great moments here, but Joe was not a finesse quarterback on fire every game. There were times where the defense, particularly the front four, had to keep that team in the game until Joe got fired up. You know, that first playoff game against the Rams at Met Stadium, it was about, what, I think, 17-7 at halftime.
He still had some tremendous. I mean, they had the one game in '69. I'm sure you remember. You were there. They were playing the defending NFL champion,
the Colts. Yep, the seven
and
touchdowns.
They got
yep.
like seven touchdowns.
Yep.
I thought what separated the 69 team from like the teams the next couple of years is how much better the defense played great all those years. That was the year that Cap had his out of the world, his
yeah,
career
right.
year.
But there, when it got into the play, that first playoff game, that was, to me, if you know, we had Gary on a few weeks ago and we were asking about his best moment when he was in town. I said, I think that the absolute best game of the Purple People Eaters was that playoff game in 69.
But that was the second best team
kept
in football
them in,
that
kept
year
them,
was the Rams.
Kept them in the game until, you know, till Joe got the offense fired up. And then Carl and Allen put the icing on the cake. Carl got a safety on Roman Gabriel, mm-hmm. I think just after Joe had scored a touchdown, and Carl pushed two more points on the board,
yeah.
and then Allen clinched it with a rare time. Allen's back in pass coverage, knocks the ball up in the air, intercepts it, yeah. and clinches it.
But the Rams were clearly the other great team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They started, I think, 11-0.
But that defense had the ability to win a game on its own, and it was great if the offense wanted to contribute.
I just saw it on YouTube recently, your safety to clinch the game. You went around Bob Brown, who's generally considered one of the all-time great offensive lineman NFL history, and you went around him like he was a fire hydrant almost on that play.
Well, that was called anticipation and experience and stuff like that. Here's where the experience really builds up or adds up. The thing is that you recall not only, you know, the action in the game, but you remember previous games. And in that game, Roman Gabriel had done a move. It wasn't the same move, but I thought he might do that. I thought he might come that way because Bob Brown was his best lineman up there, and Bob Brown was a tough guy to beat. I always
sure.
had a tough time against Bob. And I consider Bob the toughest guy because Bob didn't just want to protect the quarterback. He wanted to hurt you. His theme was to maim and kill and bury you shallow, you know. But on that play, I figured that Roman would try to get outside. You know, it would not stay in the pocket because I thought we'd heat the pocket up and he'd have to move. And so what I did was is I came in on the rush and I kind of gave Bob the fake inside move thinking that Gabriel would take it and swing outside. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, I had not really committed to the inside. So I was right there and made the play. And so it was a great play. And it was an important play because we got the 2 points, which put it out of field goal range. So that gave us that.
What's great about this is we're talking about a play that was made 47 years ago, and your recall is incredible.
Yeah, and I just happened to have seen it.
Yeah,
recently.
It's not like you talked about it.
Well, and it was also fitting that Carl clinched it because earlier in the game, Carl had an interception return for a touchdown that was called back because they said Allen was offsides. And if you slow that tape down, Allen, you know, because Allen paced
so fast, quick. Yeah.
Allen
yeah.
was not offsides, but he was so quick they called it on him, and Carl had 6 points called back.
Now, I just took a look at the all-time sack. Let's give Deacon Jones, you know, in there. If you put him in there where Carl's number is, because I don't think there's anyone else that would have been near you two, Vikings have four of the top 12 sackers of all time. You're
okay.
in there. Jared okay. Allen is in there. John mm-hmm. Randall and Chris Dolman.
Chris Dolman's in there.
That's pretty impressive
yeah,
for one franchise.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, you know, they were really good athletes, and Dolman had a really good, you know, he was a good outside rusher. You know, was lean. We were built about the same size, and had that speed. And a lot of it has to do with your, you know, philosophy.
Yeah.
And it has to do with your whole front organization. What kind of team? What kind of personnel they want? You know, what are they trying to do? So. I think fans here appreciate defense, and I think they like defense, and I think that's so we try to.
Oh, they love seeing that. Now,
yeah.
Now, Brian,
yeah.
you weren't even born when he played.
No,
I mean you're a millennial, obviously.
Barely, but you, I don't like to admit it.
But you grew up. Most of your years were in Minnesota, right? Growing
no,
up.
No. I grew up in Kentucky.
Well, when did you move here? I'm so
8 years ago.
Okay,
I'm a pretty recent transplant.
Well, I mean, what does the name Carl Eller mean to you, though, as a transplant? You've been here 8 years. I mean, it's one of the legendary names that you hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were on an episode of Twin Cities News Talk one time together. So yeah, I've gone back and watched a lot of the film. It's unbelievable. But my dad was really into the Purple People Eaters. He thought that was the greatest. So he talked about that a lot.
Yeah, it's. So, I mean, yeah. It was. I would watch games. We didn't get a lot of games on the East Coast because I lived in New Jersey, and we would get either the Giants or the Jets or the Eagles. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a lot of Cowboys too.
And those were some thin years for the Giants
and for the Jets.
Well, the Jets had a couple of good ones.
Not many though, because Namath after that, his knee was always going out.
A lot of Al Woodall.
Yeah, it was that sort of deal. Deal with that. Now, Carl, I wanted to ask you because you did, set how the Viking and they stood at attention. That were you the only team that did that, or did other teams pick it up when you did for the anthem?
Well, I brought a statement, Bob. Would you like for me
yeah,
to
I would like you to. Yeah,
does okay. that, wow. address it? That'd be great. Take prepare a couple statement. Of minutes here and stuff like that, so we'll kind of get into it.
That's but, a first for this show, by the way.
No one's ever prepared for this before. Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I want to do this. I know that your fans called in, and so I hope they'll just kind of be patient.
No, I'd like you to do that, please.
Okay, and I call it the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick, here are three words I want to say to you. I love you. I support you. I respect you and encourage you to do whatever your heart and soul commands. What is only by doing so that you can live your life to its fullest. There are some things I'd like to share with you, and I suppose the rest of the world, as this is not a private conversation. I am a black male, an American citizen born in the United States. I am not immune to any aspects of any inequities that this self-description entails. I fought and still fight for equality and justice, which is such a big part of my consciousness and sealed but not locked into my personal vault that protects my instincts for survival. Being black, I survive, thrive, prosper, decline, or fail as a black male. Whatever is responsible for my failure is also responsible for my success. I am but one and the same. I am that I am. I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and fled the Jim Crow South in 1960, seeking freedom and air. I was suffocated in a barrel full of lack of opportunity. Fortunately for me, I grabbed a ticket to live from my ability to play football. That ticket saved my life. I fled the South on an athletic scholarship to the University of Minnesota. Finally, I could breathe, but not for long. As a sophomore, one of my college professors returned my essay paper to me saying he did not believe I had written it. He threatened to fail me if I didn't do it over. I refused to rewrite the paper, believing I had the right to believe what I believed, regardless of whether anyone else believed me or not. The professor rationed that a black boy growing up in the South, as I did during that period, I could not believe in freedoms and the pursuits of happiness. But I did believe in them. I believed in them then, and I believe in them now. At the U of M, I played on a team of believers led by Sandy Stevens, the first black quarterback to lead a major college team. He led the team to a national championship and a Rose Bowl victory. After college, Sandy was not drafted by any NFL team to play quarterback, and he went to Canada where he could play his position. This is important because it was Sandy Stevens who broke the color barrier for guys like you so you could play quarterback. Sandy, like many black athletes, played a major role in the Civil Rights Movement and the dissolution of the Jim Crow South. This is a role much, much larger than pioneering African-American athletes are given credit for. Numerous black athletes sacrificed dearly to gain freedoms that whites take for granted. Men like Jesse Owens, Jackie Robinson, John Carlos, and Muhammad Ali all made significant sacrifices to advance the rights of people of color. What I need to tell you is I am the co-creator of the NFL players' ritual of standing at attention on the sidelines for the national anthem. I and Minnesota Viking head coach Bud Grant created and implemented the protocol of standing at attention on the sideline for the playing of our national anthem. This is a routine to it that it appears that you so demonstrably oppose. If you want to object to that procedure, I am the one to whom you should object, as I am the one who started it. No one else in the world other than myself or Bud Grant can explain the meaning of this ritual. My reason for starting it is because it was during the Vietnam War and at a time when there was a national draft. It was mandatory that at the age of 18, people sign up for the draft and could only postpone military service until they were out of college. This was if you were lucky enough to go to college or had some disability or other deferment into service. At the time of the Viet War, I was just starting my NFL career. The only option available to me was to enlist in the National Guard or some other branch of the military that would allow me to continue my NFL career. Many prospects who did not join such branch as the reserves fled to Canada to escape the draft. Others found a way to claim they were unfit for service. I'm sure there were many ways, legitimate or illegitimate, that people found to escape the war. So while I was in the NFL, I served my country by joining the National Guard. While many young men and women fought and died for our country, I played football. Football while young men and women were being shot at and killed. When these servicemen and women returned home, they were booed and ridiculed for fighting for our freedoms. They fought for my freedom and your freedom, Colin. So to show respect for our country and support our troops, Coach Grant and I came up with the idea of standing at attention during the national anthem. It was my duty to show my teammates how to do it properly and uniformly. As a team, it showed discipline and solidarity. To the troops, it showed that they weren't forgotten. Many returning vets expressed how good it made them feel seeing us standing at attention on the sidelines for the national anthem. It made them proud to see the purple honor the red, white, and blue. The league followed and made it a requirement for all NFL teams. As co-creator of this protocol, I must tell you there were no options, no variables, or multiple choices. The stance embodied commitment and support for our country and our troops. We made the same commitment to them as they made to us. We will stand for you. We will stand for you. We will stand for you and by you, and we will stand with you. We will stand for you just like you stand for us, just like you fight for us and our freedoms. We will honor our commitment to you, just like you protect us by fighting for us, for all of our freedoms, not just some of our freedoms, but for all of our freedoms, not just for some Americans, but for all Americans. Not just for black Americans, not just for white Americans, not just for Native Americans or Hispanic or Asian Americans, but for all Americans. That's what they were fighting for. They were fighting for us, we the people. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. I consider myself as part of that we, not just a part, but an essential element of that we. That we that falls apart if I am not part of it. I am the I in we. I am we in the Constitution and all 27 amendments. I am also part of the we when we speak black, the black we, us black, or us blacks. As I said in the beginning, I'm a black male born in the United States. I once was ambushed in my garage in a home I lived in for over 40 years. 18 squad cars showed up to arrest me for a minor traffic violation for which a video was never produced, even though video equipment is mandatory on all squads. I've experienced this. And I am also a parent. I have a son, a son-in-law, two grandsons, two daughters, and two granddaughters. Could it be possible that I not see the hypocrisy in these platitudes? Possible, but not realistic. For it is the hypocrisy that I think you, Colin, are confronting. But what I think is a hypocrisy is how can we look at one side and ignore the other? How can we turn a blind eye to what is going on in our communities? What about the people who are not getting shot by the police? What about the ones who can't walk from home to school and back without being intimidated or assaulted? No, it is not every community, nor every black community, but it is there. It is present and it is prevalent. It has been there for a long time. Honestly, I think it was the main point of my Hall of Fame enshrinement speech in 2004. Families imprisoned in their own neighborhoods by drugs and gang violence. I have fought this battle for many years. As in my creation of the protocol for standing for the national anthem, I have been a leader. This includes being a pioneer in the field of life sciences as they relate to life balance and recovery from addictions. I, along with other former players, have made enormous contributions to the health and safety of today's players. The bottom line is this. Maybe at some point the world will stop and take a moment to listen to what athletes have to say without them having to go to such drastic extremes as to invoking their First Amendment rights on the sidelines of the field to be heard. And maybe then current players, former players, and future players can once and for all remove the hypocrisy that exists in our country today, where we really means all of us. I hope so.
Carl, that's a powerful statement. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you.
Well, it is. It's just what happened to you at the university, you know, with that professor and what you did, what you've been through. And you could have, as much as anyone, you could have a grudge or be upset. As you mentioned with the police, the number of police that showed up. You know, you've been through a lot, and you've there's aren't many people, that, particularly at your age in America, who haven't faced racism in one form or another or had an issue with a cop. So, I mean, it's a great statement, and as I said, I greatly appreciate you sharing with us. We'll take a quick break and come back. It's coming back with anything after that. Wow, that's a great statement. But we are going to get Kelly in Vegas. We'll lighten it up a little bit, and Brian Miller come up with a joke or two. No, that was terrific. It really was. We'll be right back. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Are you looking to buy your first home? Are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com, or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300, and contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. We are back. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, comic / comedian, Brian Miller. I haven't decided on
one. No, I like comic / comedian. Right. I think that's the way to go.
Business and Leisure Attorney Jeff O'Brien, Hall of Famer Carl Eller. He just gave a wonderful statement and a powerful statement about Colin Kaepernick. That will be obviously part of this. We'll also have video of Carl reading the statement. And this segment with Kelly in Vegas brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. If you love pizza, you will love Chanticleer Pizza. It's been in business for more than 50 years, and you don't last that long in any business unless you're giving people what they want. Chanticleer delivers every time. Chanticleer features thin crust, New York-style hand-tossed, and pan pizza, 11 Twin Cities locations with delivery and carryout. In Coon Rapids and Maple Grove, there's the Chanticleer Pizza Grill. Full bar restaurant, full menu, burgers, salads, pasta, pizza, and much more. Great game day specials on Sundays during the football season. Chanticleer is your game day delivery expert for the football season. Chanticleer Restaurants, independently owned and operated. For more information, ChanticleerPizza.com. ChanticleerPizza.com. Chanticleer Pizza, the clear choice for pizza lovers. And Kelly, Dale had gave me two college games he loves. He loves Utah, and he loves the Vikings in the NFL. Are you loving both?
You know what? That Utah game might just be something I want no part of, but I absolutely love the Vikings this week in the NFL.
Is it because of the defense? Which, by the way, the history of the defense started by one of our guests, Carl Eller, with the Purple People Eaters.
I love it. That's great. You know what it is? It's really, you just don't step in front of a hot team. Minnesota Vikings are 16-2 against the spread. We up it every week, and they're still covering. Zimmer's 27-9 against the spread since 2014 when he took over. I think Bradford's doing a great job. We talked about Diggs a little bit last week. We also talked about McKinnon being able to step up, as well as Asiata to replace AP. I was very impressed with their win in Carolina. I did luckily have a little bit on the money line to help me save a little bit of face for the other teams that didn't do so hot on Sunday. But I told you before, the Broncos are my team, but I love this Minnesota Vikings team. And the only thing that's kind of, which I'll, you know, just say just to go against Dale, just a little bit, the only time the Vikings are a little wary is Monday nights. They're 0-7 straight up and against their spread in their last seven Monday night games. Ooh. I have no idea why. I'd have to look a little bit deeper, but I saw that stat this morning, and that's the only reason why I'm not just hammering the Minnesota Vikings this week.
Now, I could tell you, and certainly Carl could agree or disagree, but since your teams, I have covered the team since 84, the biggest step that I think a team has to make is to be able to handle success. And often when they're going to a Monday night game, they may have come off a good game, and this team, this franchise, historically has struggled with handling success. This team may be different. Carl played for a team where, I mean, success was ingrained in you. So, I mean, that you had no trouble handling success.
Yeah, but playing on the off nights is kind of different, though, you know, the night games. Now these guys are probably more used to it than we were. I mean, the Monday night game was a big game. It was kind of your one off game during the year, you know, other than Sunday. So, but I think these guys, there's no reason why these guys should not continue. I don't think any of that. They're just going to throw that all out the window. You know, they're playing to win. They want to get back to the playoffs and go further.
Well, Kelly, you know what I was wondering? Will odds makers, I mean, his record, you said, I think it's 27-9 against the spread. Will they adjust the Vikings, start doing that if he keeps beating the spread?
I think they have been adjusting the Vikings. Oh. That's the funny thing about it. I think that everybody knows now. Last year at this time when we were talking the Vikings, they had just started going on a great against the spread run. So everybody knows this. This is not some, like, insider
secret
knowledge
that
the Vikings have been covering these games. So I think the books have been adjusting. I think that, yeah, like I said, there is a little bit of something to that Monday night stat. But overall, this Vikings team has just never gotten enough love that it probably deserves from the public, and I think that's what it really boils down to. I mean, like you just said, their defense held the Packers at 16, the Titans, I believe, to 10, to was it 14? 14 to the Packers, 16 to the Titans, and 10 to the Panthers. I mean, they're absolutely amazing. So any time that you have a great defense and you're getting points, that's great. Yeah, they're laying a small number here at home, but I think that has a lot to do with the home field advantage. From what I've been told, that stadium is loud. Obviously, I haven't been there. It's brand new, but it is loud.
Well, Kelly, I got a quick question. A stat like, say, they've lost seven straight on Monday night. Sometimes how much are those statistics can be noise or anomalies where it's really neither here nor there?
There's lots of statistics that handicappers use to back their side. I read it on one of my buddies' stat sheets, and I was like, oh, that's just interesting, just to kind of give a contrarian perspective. Like I said, I didn't look into it enough because – What was their last Monday night game? Last year? The year before?
Yeah, but they just played Sunday night against
they
the Packers.
They played a lot of them against
right.
the Packers.
Yeah, right. That's it. They put them in prime time. Big, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, it's just one of those stats, like, when I talk about the game, just to kind of give, you know, the other side of it. But it doesn't necessarily have to hold any weight. And then also, you could play the contrarian side of that. Okay, well, they're now due to win a Monday night game and cover.
Now, let me ask you, I want to go to a college game, then ask you a couple of pro things. This Clemson-Louisville over-under is staggering. Right?
It is. I mean, that is a game I've talked about. Let's see, I've probably already talked about it three or four times this week. 67.5. The interesting thing is this game opened Clemson -3.5 offshore, 3 here in Vegas. Well, some spots 1.5 here in Vegas, but now it's Louisville -2.
But wasn't it originally Clemson by more than a touchdown at the beginning of the year if you bet it?
Well, yeah, if you look back, let me actually pull that up real quick.
I think there's a 12-point
right
swing.
Here in front of me. Yeah. If you look
That's
back.
People saw Louisville go through Florida State like a hot knife through butter. That was
the original spread before week one of college football is, where's it at? I had it written down, I thought.
Well, I thought that I had seen that it was like a 12-point swing from, because it was like a 5-point swing just this week, right?
I wouldn't be surprised to see it over the summer as Clemson -7.5 or something like that. I don't have that sheet in front of me
from the
Golden Nugget, but I know Tony puts out games of the years like that, and I wouldn't have been surprised to see Clemson by more than a touchdown.
The game's at Death Valley, right?
Yeah.
So the game's at Death Valley. Nobody had any idea. I'll be really honest with you. I heard a little bit about Lamar Jackson prior to the season, but nobody had any idea. This kid is a huge Heisman front runner. I mean, they're ready to give him the trophy tomorrow.
Well, it's incredible that the number can swing like that. Now, is the money coming from the sharps or the dopes like the rest of us?
You know what? I'm not sure on this one. It's a pretty even breakdown, but the big money is what moves the number. So obviously, as soon as it opened, the sharp guys were hitting Louisville early, and they may come back on Clemson. They tend to do that where they'll go in early in the week and buy, you know, the number on one side, and then go back and buy it on the other and try to middle the game. I mean, I really, like I said at the beginning, I've talked about this game all week. I want no part of it. I think this is a coin toss game. I think both teams are great. I just want to sit back and just kind of watch the show.
This is the first de facto playoff game because the winner is going to get in, barring a huge upset.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
especially
you're right.
Louisville. Louisville plays nobody the rest of the year after this, whereas Clemson still has to play Florida State.
Yes, they do.
Now, is there a team that, off of last week's games, you really like and you think that they are going to, like Buffalo, are they suddenly a hot team to follow? Or is Carolina a lock because they lost and they've got two losses already?
Oh, I mean, let's just not even – I don't even want to talk about the NFL. After last week, I feel like I'm like a battered wife. I had the Broncos and I had the Vikings to win the games outright. And the Jags just dragged me through the mud. The Titans dragged me through the mud. And I had the bad play on Monday night against the Saints, thinking that they were the right side at home. And
your Broncos have a quarterback.
You know what? I was never high on Trevor Siemian all year, well, since the beginning of the year. Just that defense is what was so great. And I said it last week on the Nugget video. I said, I don't care if Peyton Manning comes back. I don't care if we would have kept Mark Sanchez, Paxton Lynch. It doesn't matter, I don't think. I think that offensive line is good enough to where you could put – let's just call him a mediocre quarterback, a little bit above average quarterback, and that defense is going to carry you, and I think he's just going to progress from here. I mean, I was so mad at my I have a fantasy football team I do with my buddy Charlie. We've done for like 8 years, and I texted him. I said, hey, did you see Tyler Lockett's dad tweeted, you know, thanks for all the well wishes of Tyler. he should be okay. He may play, you know, whatever. And he only basically played special teams. So I text him. I said, did you see that tweet? And he said, yeah, yeah, but Emmanuel Sanders hasn't done anything. And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I think this is, you know, that weak Bengals secondary might get lit up. And, of course, he scores 36 points on the bench. We lose. I think Tyler Lockett had zero. So yeah. It was just one of those things where the Denver offense is finally starting to click. Simeon had a couple of really big scares. I didn't get to watch the whole game because I was flipping back and forth. He had a couple of scares where he definitely could have turned the ball over. I think if he just kind of calmed down a little bit and has another game like that, yep. I think that Broncos defense is going to be way too much for Jameis Winston this week. Everybody knows I don't really bet road chalk, but there's no way I'm back in Tampa Bay plus three.
And by the way, if people want to follow you, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter, kellyinvegas.com, vegasinsiders.com. But kellyinvegas.com is where they can go if they would like to subscribe to your service, correct?
Absolutely, and you can also get my plays on Vegas Insider. The really cool thing about them is they offer something that we call a guaranteed play. So if you buy my guaranteed play and it loses, you don't get charged for it. Like with Arkansas,
how do they
Arkansas
do that?
Last week. So Arkansas, as we know, just kind of laid down in the second half of that game. And you know what? It was just one of those weekends where it was just not too pretty. So got to move on to the next at this point.
Well, that's great. And by the way, it's a nice-looking website, VegasInsider.com.
They actually are – they're a great website. I do a lot of my research on there as far as, like, when you ask me, like, where the money is, where yep. the tickets are, things like that. Theirs is all right there in plain view. You don't have to go searching for it. You just click on either NFL or college football, and you click matchups, and you can look through every single game on the board, and it tells you, hey, there's 75% of the tickets on, let's just say, the Broncos this week over Tampa Bay, and if that's something that you take into account in your handicapping, you may want to bet the other side.
Now, and you have a new website, too, relatively new.
Yeah, we overhauled the website this last year. Since I joined the sports line, I thought maybe it was time to be a little bit more business professional.
You look a little more professional. I mean, the other photos were great wearing your K-State outfits.
I knew that once I got rid of those, I was going to hear about it, but, you know, when you hit 30, it's sometimes time to make a career upgrade.
Well, no one would guess you're 30 by the photo. You still look like you're certainly looking much younger in years, but much older in wisdom when it comes to picking. Kelly, I always love talking to you. Kelly in Vegas and kellyinvegas.com and vegasinsider.com at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Let's take another quick break. Come back. Carl Eller is with us, Hall of Famer Brian Miller, comic/comedian Kevin Cusick, PioneerPressPoints.com, at The Loop now. Business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, who, by the way, thank you for setting up Carl, and he set up a number of our great guests on Wednesdays. We will take a quick break. Come back with psychic Ruth Lorden. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847 or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com.
There's a home.
Katie, was this your pick?
It was.
Very nice. Very calm and relaxing.
Almost uplifting.
Almost.
It's not commie like you pick, Kevin.
Definitely. Well, you know
back.
What? I just thought it was a good vibe.
That's a good one. Katie Harms, thank you. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. Funny man. Comic, comedian, funny man. Brian Miller, B-R-Y-A-N.
Yes, and, Brian with a Y.
Brian Miller. At Real Brian Miller on Twitter.
Indeed.
And... Brian, your website, it's www.brianmillercomedy.com. Comedy.com.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put the comedy first.
I never do.
No.
No, I beat you to it. I saw Kevin going for it.
Business and Leisure Attorney.
That's why you're the professional and I'm the amateur.
Jeff O'Brien, Hall of Famer Carl Ello is with us. And psychic Ruth Lorton joins us. Ruth, how are you today?
I am good. I keep feeling all this energy around you. It's your time. You've been the most patient person on the planet, but it is your time.
Well, thank you. Have you met Carl? Have you met Ruth at any? I don't know if you guys crossed paths at any time.
I think we've been on the radio together.
Okay.
Yeah.
We met at Dino and Patty's wedding.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, are you going to his mom's birthday party?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I am. And we also met many years ago, which he will not remember, at a very wild party in Lake Minnetonka, in the lake.
I probably wouldn't remember if you're right.
That's good. Yeah. That's the one thing about football and concussions.
Yeah.
Well, Carl's never, he had incredible recall, of one play from 1969.
He passed the protocol.
We haven't talked about this much. You have contemporaries who played and have shown physical ill effects. I mean, you don't show any outward ill effects. I mean, do you have all the original body parts, or have you had a knee replaced?
I've had a knee replaced, yes.
But it's not, I mean, when you walk, you would never know that you got beat up the way you did and you played. But you did most of the beating up.
Yeah, I was going to say, ask the guy you played.
They're not walking so good. The difference between being the beat-or and the beat.
Yeah. Well, you know, the defensive end is kind of, it's really a great position.
Well,
yeah, right. It's a good position. You know, you basically got the guy in front of you on one side of you.
Yep.
Generally, you have guys from both sides, which would drive you nuts, you know. But no, I never got diagnosed with a concussion.
Really?
But I may have had one, I think. I think it was against Brockington from Green Bay.
Or John Brockington?
Yeah, or Cunningham from New England. It was one of those big runners.
Sam Bam,
yes.
That was Randall's older brother, right? I believe it was.
Maybe. Yep, that was. Yeah. I don't know.
Randall Cunningham's brother. Yeah. He was a hell of a runner.
Yeah.
So, but no, but you do, you're, you look great. And do you mind, you're still in your 60s?
Not quite.
Really? You're over 70?
Yep.
No one would guess that.
That's okay.
You'd still win the fight against all of us simultaneously.
Bob and Mai are more over the hill, and we're still in the 50s.
Carl, no one would ever guess that. I mean, honestly, you look great. And
thanks. That's good to hear.
We'll have a photo, by the way, with
Plus,
the...
Plus, I think guys in the league in his day would have been afraid to, like, cut block him at the knees, which you see happens sometimes to defensive ends now. I think it's definitely a fighter.
When they cut that out, they used to have it. It used to still be legal when I played.
Yeah.
And they put a wing back way out to, you know, on the wing, and it sort of motioned back in. But
Did you face any tackles that were your height?
Well, Bob Brown.
He was the only one, right? He was 6'7", right?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys.
He was actually bigger than you
in terms
of weight.
Yeah, he was actually bigger weight and stuff like that. There were a lot of guys. Most of those guys were bigger than me, 5'10", or my height in 5 and 10 pounds.
Really? I didn't think they were that tall.
Yeah. But none of them were faster than him.
No, they weren't generally faster. Well, I played against guys like Rayfield Wright, Dallas. He's a big guy. There was a lot of Winston Hill with the Giants. Not the Giants.
Jets.
With the
Jets. Yeah.
Yes. And they were all big.
Well, those Oakland linemen were pretty good size, too, but they were on the other side, right? They were both on the left.
Well, there was Shell, and Bob Brown played with Oakland, too. I couldn't get away from him. He was following me around, yes.
That's funny.
No, it was, I can't think of the other guy. Some Otis? No, it was a defensive guy. But Bob Brown and then Shell.
John Vella?
John Vella, yeah, who played over there.
Listen to you.
He wasn't he was that big a guy, but he was good. He had help, and they would they would use that guard, whoever that was, to kind of double team you.
Well, now, Ruth, is it a good vibe you're feeling for today?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Let the spirit move you, but today, slow down and add our own control and consciousness. Some call it mindfulness. No freestyle today. Add filters and what used to be called reason. Now, tonight, all bets are off. You can let it all go and have super fun, but there will be a price tomorrow.
Yeah, we all have the price tomorrow lately.
Oh, I have a question.
Except for Brian, because he's still a kid.
Wow, I'm actually 14 years old.
And Katie,
I look terrible for my age.
Because she's still a kid.
I have a question for Ruth. Arnold Palmer, the great golfer Palmer, recently passed away. And I was thinking about, you know, you don't want to bury a golfer. It's too much like a bunker. It seems like a bad way to send a guy off, right? So what do you do with it? You don't do burial at sea. That's a one-stroke penalty. You got to bring him right back to the shore and try again. I think when a golfer passes away, you leave his body right in the middle of the yard. Just like one up the middle, you know? Ruth, what do you think Arnold Palmer would want?
He just said a cool, stiff drink. He misses it.
There you go.
He's talking already? I thought he was going to take a little time off. Well, we'll have to, you know what? We'll have to check in with Arnold.
He says he was sick for a few days before. He'd been in and out of consciousness for a few days.
Was he in a coma for a few days?
He had gone into the hospital in Pittsburgh to have some work done on his heart.
Okay.
And then apparently just things got
deteriorated.
Yeah, he's saying that. He said he also used to have strokes. He said, I'm not sad. I've had a good time. I'm with the birds. Oh, my goodness. He says, but he said a funny word. Golf, they don't play golf like they used to. He says, I'm watching these babies whine and act fools. Have some decor. Can't they please show some respect when they're golfing? Keep your manners. Everybody gets too excited.
Who does he like in the Ryder Cup this weekend?
Good question.
He says the Americans.
He's going for the Americans.
Well, he's a homer.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
What's he going to say?
Actually, I was out there yesterday, and the best golfer I saw with all the pros and whatever was Michael Phelps.
Is that right?
first drive of the celebrity match, Michael Phelps put one out 340 yards.
Really?
Wasn't that those long arms?
It was unbelievable.
Well, you think he'd always be looking for the water.
His short game was a little lacking, but it was kind of depressing that someone who's already the world's greatest swimmer
is
also better than 95% of the world's golfers.
Did you play a lot of golf, or do you?
No, I didn't play a lot of golf, but I can see Phelps being an extremely good athlete almost in whatever he does.
You're right about those arms.
And he did the stretching thing he does when swimming. Yeah. He was doing that before he drove. Yeah.
No, I got to ask. I got to ask Carl. What's your take on the Gophers?
Well, I think they're going to be good. You know, I think they'll have a good year. This could be a good year. All the coaches, I've talked to some of the coaches. They seem very positive and upbeat, you know. So, you know, I think they're good. They're in a tier where if they can, you know, they should pile up some confidence in the early part of the year. So when they really meet some of the stiffer competition, they'll be good. But North Dakota beats Iowa.
Yeah.
And they've got a strong team. It's hard to tell in the divisions these days, you know, because they recruit and they get good players in these smaller colleges.
Well, you know, I didn't ask you this question about the Vikings. Are they a Super Bowl team? Or do you see them? Could they be a Super Bowl team this year? Could it be the fifth Super Bowl?
It could be. It absolutely could be. You know, again, I know, and probably for you guys, you're impatient and stuff like that, but I would just wait.
Impatient? You've been around waiting for them to do it for 50 years.
That's why he's so patient now.
Well, yeah, you got to wait. You don't want to, like.
Well, your first year was, what, 67 with them or 68?
64. I started
64.
With them.
Oh, wow. That's right. And by the way, whenever I remember when I talked to you that Murray Warmeth, a great coach.
Yes.
Except when it came to his defensive end and linebacker, he had you and Bobby Bell at defensive tackle.
Yeah, we did. And we would do that unbalanced line on occasion where Bobby and I would play side by side.
That's what I mean, which is incredible.
Yeah.
One of the greatest defensive ends in NFL history, one of the greatest linebackers in NFL history, both of them defensive tackles. Yeah. Those other guys must have been terrific on that line to be playing end and linebackers.
Well, we had a good team.
You did. You were a Rose Bowl team, national champions.
The Big Ten was good. You had Michigan and Michigan State, the Purdue, which never really won a lot of games, but they were tough to play.
Wisconsin also had some good teams.
Wisconsin had some good teams. We had some big games against Wisconsin. But the Big Ten was it. Ohio State, of course, we don't need to mention them. I mean, it'd be nice.
This is another thing I never asked you. Was one of the wins with the Gophers a bigger deal than any win you had with the Vikings?
I don't think
we're close.
So.
No.
I like that answer.
That's a good question. That's a good
answer. They were great Gopher wins and great rivalries. You know, the Iowa game, and the Wisconsin games were always big games. And, Michigan, they were kind of the powerhouse. And Ohio was not on our schedule that much. We did have them one or 2 years, yes. But we were lucky, I guess.
It was just the way it fell, I guess. Yeah.
The schedules were shorter, though. They only played like 9-10 game schedules.
Yeah. So.
Well, Ruth, thank you so much, Ruth Lorden. Tonight, by the way, you will be at the Medina, ruthlorden.com at Psychic Ruth. You can, if you want to set up an interview or a reading with her tonight, you can do it by going to ruthlorden.com or at Psychic Ruth and sending her a tweet or a private message. Thank you, Ruth, and thank you to Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press.
You're welcome.
Comic/comedian.
What do we have to do to get Carl to help out with the Vixen?
The Vixen.
Ruth is a big Vixen fan.
What is the... Oh, the Vixen? Is that a...
The women's football team.
Who made it to their championship round, but because they have no support, these poor girls had to drive. They got harassed by the police in Iowa. They had to waste hours and hours, and so, of course, when they got to North Carolina, they lost the game.
Oh, that's
but they
a long
made it to
drive
the division
to North
championship.
Carolina.
You would I'm just know. So glad she was referring to the football team.
Yeah. Thought there was a new club opening in town.
But I remember them. I was out to one of their games a couple years ago.
We have to get them on our new podcast, Bob.
Well, you two haven't even talked about this.
The Vixens need to be on our new podcast.
No, but you haven't. We're going to do. Katie and I are going to do a podcast about women's sports. But you and Katie have not talked about your common theme or thread, which your daughter played volleyball, and so did hers.
Yes.
Yeah. My oldest and Carl's daughter, Holiday, played at the same time against each other in club.
Okay.
Several years ago.
Well, that was great. It was really just after they had, the whole Title IX or whatever that stuff was. And so girls could really get into sports. That was a big breakthrough in sports because my daughter just really benefited from that.
Does she have your height?
No, she doesn't have quite my height. She's kind of medium height. But she got into athletics. She was very athletic and was a very good sports person. She loved the game and was good.
Is she coaching?
She's not coaching, but she is teaching, though.
She's teaching. Okay.
Yeah, she's teaching. So
fantastic.
Yeah, and that was good. You know, a dad can go out and watch his girl play sports and do that. Volleyball is an exciting sport.
It's fun to watch.
It sure is. Yes.
It really is.
Yeah. And to watch the Gophers, I watched the Gophers women's volleyball. That was quite exciting.
Well, now they're ranked second in the nation. The Big Ten is ranked 1, 2, 3 in the nation right now. Yeah.
Okay. And you talk, Katie is president of the University of Minnesota Volleyball
Boosters. The Point U Boosters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And will in a few weeks be doing it'll be a post-show segment about women's sports and, high school, not just the Gophers, high school, college,
the Vixen.
Pros. The Vixens. Yes, we will have a Vixen. I promise we'll have a Vixen.
The Vixen's in on the Vixen.
Thanks, Ruth.
Ruth, thank you so much. Ruth Lorden, bye. Thank you. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. You get a second send-off. Comic slash comedian slash funny man.
Ooh, I'm at Brian slashes Miller. Every day.
BrianMillerComedy.com.
Yeah.
Thank you to Business and Leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. Give your website if people want to look you up, because especially if you have a brewery, he's the brewery king.
Personal website is jeffreyobrien.today.
That's also where they can find your blog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, if you happen to have a brewery, you represent more than 50 of the breweries in Minnesota.
Yep. A few outside of Minnesota, but breweries and distilleries, yep.
And Carl Eller, Hall of Famer, we appreciate it. Now, Carl, is there anything that – or you have any appearances coming up that you'd like to promote, or anything at all we can promote for you?
Well, first of all, thank you, Bob, for allowing me on this show and to read my statement.
Thank you.
Really important to me. But right now, the Hall of Fame has Gridiron Glory at the Minnesota Historical Society, which is a good exhibit, by the way. And they opened this past Saturday, so it just started.
This
is great. Go there and see it. A lot of the stuff, over 200 artifacts, so that's really a nice display.
And in the new stadium, you can see your artwork also.
You can definitely see my artwork. And, you know, Bob, I've had a great time. There's a lot of stuff I've been doing, the art, the History Center, and just talking to you guys.
Carl, you know what was great, too? Seeing you with your line mates.
Oh.
With Alan and Jim. You had both. You had Gary Larson and you had Doug Sutherland on the field for the coin toss. But to see that foursome together again was neat to see.
Yeah. They tried to recreate, you know, on the where we were sitting on this bench and a picture that was probably when we were played in uniform together. That's what they kind of do. And I think for the TV fans, they probably saw the similarities. But, no, we are – by comparison, we're in good health, you know, because we're actually the only front four from that era that we could still, you know, suit up, basically not suit up in reality. But
it'd be nice if they could do like a ceremonial sack.
But we could be there in real life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a big deal.
We had Gary on a few weeks ago, and I didn't realize he's the only man, well, living or deceased, who could say he was part of the Purple Eaters and the Fearsome Foursome.
Oh, yeah, we got him.
Which is
the
incredible.
Yeah, that is, yeah. Yeah.
Which is good for him because he didn't have the careers that the rest of you did.
Yeah, no, his career was a little shorter.
But you guys, by the way, Carl, there's going to be a lot more talk about you and Alan and that defense as this Viking defense. The comparisons are going to be plentiful by people, and I'm sure your phone's going to be ringing off the hook as the year goes on from people wanting to talk to you.
The big question is they're trying to come up with a name for
Do
this
you
Vikings
have a name for it?
No,
I don't
yet.
Have a name. And that was some radio. Maybe you guys should do a name or have your callers come up with a name. That's how they did it for us. We were going, well, we don't have any name. We don't want any name. We're Carl and Alan and Jim and Gary. That's our name.
Just four regular guys.
Just four guys.
Well, doing their job.
I shot.
We just happened to meet at the quarterback.
Right.
Meet at the quarterback next Sunday, yeah.
Yes.
Because the name of a book I did in 86 was just a small picture book, was called Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. So that's been used for years.
I think I have that book, actually.
Do you?
Someplace.
That's when that's back at the photo was, if you happen to have it, look at the photo. I weighed 157 then.
Bob has some copies that he hasn't even colored in yet.
Hey. And on that note, no, thank you to everyone, and thank you to our sponsors, thank you to our listeners.
Special show.
And
it was
great.
Very special show, and what you gave and did was such a gift.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
That was terrific.
Well, thank you.
And funny man slash comic slash comedian, I loved your Arnold Palmer question for Ruth. That was great. All right, thank you again, everyone. We'll talk to you later.